Then the Lord put out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth, and the Lord said to him, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." Please be seated. I was in the third grade when my family moved from upstate Louisiana to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So see, I was a Yankee for a time. We're north of I-20, right? Isn't that how it works? And we moved in the middle of the school year. It's February, as I recall. Myself and my four brothers all put into new schools mid-year, moving to a house with strange kids in the neighborhood, a new life that was kind of scary and quite different. Many of you I know have experienced the same thing in your lives. My parents were smart enough to put all the night boys immediately into every type of sport available to us. Sports was a big part of our life. My dad was a coach, so that we kind of lived and breathed that. And of course, now I'm talking about, this is back when I was 9 years old, right? And it was only the real sports that we were put into. Nobody played soccer in those days, right? I'm speaking of real American sports like baseball and football and basketball and curling. We did all the proper things. Participating in athletics was kind of our ticket in, a way of making friends and making our way known in this new town. So not long after we moved there, I found myself one Saturday morning in a gymnasium where I had this strange basketball jersey on. It was with a church that we had been visiting, checking out, and they had RAs. Y'all remember RAs in the Baptist church? Some of y'all probably did that. So I was put on this 9-year-old, I guess, basketball team, and my mother dropped me off at this gym, and she said, "Go look for people that are dressed like you," right? So that's what I do when I walk in. And what I do remember about the gym was this big crusader painted on the floor. It looked like a knight, right? I had no idea what that was, what that even meant. Strangely, this was, turns out to be William Carey College, which is a Baptist university now in Hattiesburg. And my older brother Steve is their basketball coach and has been for many years. In fact, he's the all-time winningest college basketball coach in the history of Mississippi. But I was in that gym before he was. I remind him of that all the time. So here I am playing in my very first organized basketball game as a 9-year-old, and I did not know a soul. I do remember it well, though. Sitting there on the sidelines on the bench early in the game, the coach looked down at me and said, "Hey, you." He didn't even know my name, right? "I want you to go in for Scott." Well, I just kind of shook my head. "No, not going to happen." So he said, "Well, why not?" I said, "I don't know who Scott is." So, you know, even at 9, I was kind of a smart aleck, right? So the coach kind of laughed, said, "That's okay. Look, he's number 8. You can see his jersey. Go in for number 8, and he's playing forward. I want you to play forward where he is." I shook my head. He said, "What now?" I said, "I don't know what a forward does." So I didn't go in the game. My mother came and picked me up after the game, and I told her, "I don't want to play basketball anymore." I was a very reluctant forward, for sure. Now, later in life, basketball became a real passion for me, both as a player, if you can believe that, looking at me now, and as a coach. And I turned out to be a pretty decent forward. Man, if they just had the 3-point line when I was playing. Well, anyway, that's a story for another time. But at that point in time, this young boy, 9-year-old self, turned down that opportunity, that calling to participate. I wasn't ready. I wasn't confident. I didn't feel like I could do it. So leave me alone. Jeremiah is a young boy in our Old Testament passage. Scholars argue really over how young he may have been. I've seen it range between 9 and 14 or so. So regardless, he's young. He says it himself, right? And that passage begins in the first chapter, first verse of Jeremiah, saying the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, "Whoa, hold on. I am too young for this. And look, I don't know what a prophet does. So don't send me in the game. I won't know what to do." Jeremiah is a reluctant prophet. In fact, if you read the whole book, you see his whole career as a prophet continues to highlight how reluctant he is. But listen, God didn't care. And God did not worry that Jeremiah was too young or too unqualified or even afraid. It mattered not to God about Jeremiah, and friends, it doesn't matter to God about you either, because my sisters and brothers, God has a calling for each and every one of us. Not all of us are called to be prophets, of course, And calling is not just for those considering this crazy life of ordained ministry. It's for all of us. Because God has given each and every one of you gifts. And God calls each of you to exercise those gifts to the glory of God and to the benefit of God's people throughout the world. How pitiful it would be if everyone was like me in that gym, refusing to answer, refusing to go in. Now, Jeremiah wants to refuse. Maybe we do too at times. Maybe you think you're not good enough. Maybe you hope God will just pick someone else, put that other guy in the game. Maybe somebody that God knows their name. God heard all this from Jeremiah, and God's reply is, that's nonsense. See, the reason that God tells Jeremiah that God knew him before he was even born, when he was being formed in the womb, God knew him. He does that to explain to this young boy, I'm not calling you because you've proven yourself worthy or because you have some special qualifications. You don't have to pass a test to be called. The talent is in you because I put it in you, and I will bring it out from you. Jeremiah first says no, like I did. And I wonder why. Maybe it's because this kind of a dramatic change in his life, even at a young age, was too much to think about. Doesn't change do that to us? Most often, our foremost reaction to the idea of a big change in our lives is fear. See, I know this. This is the unknown. And it terrifies me to think of moving from this to this. Don't change this. Don't shift gears on me. I won't know what to do. I won't know how to act. I won't know who I am. That's kind of what Jeremiah is saying to God, isn't it? So what does God say to him? Well, the same thing God says to us whenever God introduces change in our lives. He says, Jeremiah, people of St. Simon's, do not be afraid. Fear not, for I will be with you. This is God's message to young Jeremiah and the message to me and to you. God says, I have called you. Do not be afraid. I know you. I will gift you. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul writes that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Nobody can take them away from you. So fear not. And truly, the only way we overcome fear is by trusting. And in this case, trusting in God. You know it's stewardship season. So when you're considering what God is calling you to give during this time, fear often plays a role in how people respond. So I'm asking you to search inside yourself and let go of that fear by trusting that God will provide and that all you have came from God anyway. And God simply wants you to answer the question we keep asking. What's God calling you to give to this church at this season? In a courageous way, answering that call can teach a lot to you and certainly shows a lot to God that you will not let money replace God in your life. You will not try to serve two masters is what Jesus cautioned us about. Instead, I will trust in God. God will provide. The release of that kind of fear in your giving, folks, if you can get to that point, it is life-changing for you. Now, of course, the calling from God is not just for the young. I remind you of the grasshopper story that I shared with you a few times. When Moses sends the 12 spies out into the promised land to see what it was like. And the spies come back and 10 of them say, boy, it is beautiful and overflowing with milk and honey. But those people, we can't deal with them. They are giants. We are like grasshoppers to them. And then two of those spies had a different story. They said, yeah, it's going to be tough, but we have God on our side. And God will deliver the promised land to us. Now, those two spies were named Joshua, who ended up leading the Israelites into the promised land, and Caleb. Caleb was over 85 years old when he is allowed with Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. It's never too late to listen for God's call on your life. Caleb had a gift of leadership and a gift of bravery, and God called him to use it even at his older age. And we know in our biblical history, we see a lot of reluctant prophets, right? People have been running from the work of God for thousands of years, including me. I love what I get to do. I love that I can be part of this body of Christ. I really do. I enjoy going to work every day. But my biggest regret in life is not obeying that call a lot sooner than I did. But it's never too late, right? Moses was pretty old when he heard God's call, but Moses didn't want to do it. You remember that story? I don't talk well enough. I've got a stutter. You can't send me to talk to Pharaoh. Yet he does. Isaiah says, I have unclean lips. And God sends a cherubim to clean his lips so he can go and speak to the people. Jeremiah, I'm too young. God puts a word in Jeremiah's mouth. You see a pattern here? There's other examples and other excuses. I can't teach Sunday school. I'm not good with kids. I can't hang out with the EYC because teenagers scare me. I don't think I can do the altar guild. I don't iron very well. Don't ask me to be in a choir. Have you heard how wonderfully they sing? There's no way I can be part of that. Or I'm new to this church, or I'm too old, or I'm too tired. I don't have a gift to offer. That's not correct. Our loving, patient God continues to call each and every one of you to a ministry. I have no doubt in that. So my question for you is, what is your calling? Where is God leading you? It may mean a change. What could you be doing for God and for this church and for the people outside these doors that we're all called to serve? I invite you to enter into a time of thinking and praying about that and talking to others about that. I never would have answered a call to ordained ministry if other people I knew had not been coming up to me and asking me if I saw it too. That's part of what we are to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because often our calling is much more clearly recognized by family or friends when we may just either refuse to see it or we are terrified of what it may mean. Take a step out in faith. The word is very clear. The same God who calls you will equip you. We learn from Jesus' experience that sometimes, though, that's not so easy. Here he is preaching in his hometown, and they love him at first, right? That's our boy, Joseph's son. Isn't he wonderful? And then he starts meddling, and they want to kill him. Jeremiah's life is like that as well. Sometimes when we answer God's call to us, we might have to go against the grain, and we might not have everyone in our lives on our side. We might be terrified that God is wanting us to really change direction in our lives. But remember, God is on your side, and God has already spoken by saying, fear not, I am with you, and I will provide. If you don't have the words, I'll give them to you. If you don't have the strength, I'll take care of that. I've already gifted you with faith. And no matter how inadequate you may think yourself to be, I am calling and I am sending. Eventually, I did learn what a forward was. Jeremiah learned what a prophet did. You too, my dear friends, can learn to do and be whatever it is God desires of you. For our Lord says, I am with you until the end of the ages. To deliver you, he says to Jeremiah. So please, pray about it. Most of all, get off the bench. Get in the game. Amen.